877-443-1230. Now, how people speak.
Good morning. 927, I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope your weekend went well. Talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. How are you doing this morning?
Very well. Good morning, Jeff. It's always nice to have a chance to come and say a few words about some of the activities going on around Randolph County and some of the events that took place. It's a breezy day today.
Definitely.
We're going to get our first hard freeze tonight, and that's not too far out of the normal, because I think the normal first hard freeze dates around October 20th, and this is the 17th, so we're in that ballpark. Saturday, I had the opportunity, so this is kind of interesting, I had the opportunity to attend an event on Kaskaskia Island. Typically, there's not a tremendous amount of things we do there because it's, you know, it's not highly, you know, populated. But they had the Daughters of the American Revolution had a plaque dedication. They dedicated a plaque related to French history of the area. And if you've heard me talk here before, there's quite a bit of French history in this area. You see it in the names of the communities, such as Prairie de Rocher. Or if I would say it correctly in French, I think it's Prairie de Rocher.
Right.
if I get it correctly. And, you know, and you see those on up through St. Louis is a French name. And Pierre Menard and all those particular ones are all French names. And there's a lot of French history. And there was Lafayette was a person, a Frenchman national, who helped the American Revolution considerably and worked to help it. And afterwards, he went around and toured what was then the colonies and states before he left to go back to France for the last time. And he came through St. Louis, and then he actually went down to what was then, it was Kaskaskia, what is now on the island, because if you remember your history, the river changed directions in the 1800s.
Right.
And it put Kaskaskia Island on the Missouri side, but it's still a part of Illinois. And the old town of Kaskaskia was swept away, but there approximately where the church was where the village was located, probably just a little west of the village, and he made a stop. And so the Daughters of the American Revolution, Illinois chapter, they had an individual there who is a French national, a young man about 30 years of age, who's working on some documentaries for this area and the French heritage in this area, not only Illinois, but on up the Mississippi River and to other areas as well. And he was there as a speaker, and we dedicated that plaque. And it was very nice to see that. There was a very good turnout, and it really celebrates our history, and I was happy to see that take place. And if you remember, I mentioned before that we're working on the idea of having a national park or a national monument designation for this area. And we actually have support for that, both in Congress and the Senate. Of course, it's a long way from happening, but it is in the process. It does so far have good reviews on it. So it does have a possibility being considered, depending on how the political winds blow in Washington, D.C. But it would be nice if it could. And that also supports the aspect. So it was nice to see a historical event and, you know, an event that honors some of our history and tourism for the area, and it was a very good event, and I enjoyed attending it.
Right. So, yeah, that definitely sounds like, I mean, like we've said before, this area is full of history.
This area is full of history. We don't normally think of it because we live here, but this was once the western border of the United States, and nothing went past the Mississippi River other than the territories. Right. And the group from where we were at there on Kaskaskia Island in the morning, Saturday morning, was moving over to Shawneetown on the Ohio River for another plaque dedication, same purpose for Lafayette when he came through here. And that was actually around a little after the Lewis and Clark expeditions, but in and about the same.
Right. We got a break here. We'll go ahead and throw that in, and we will come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. 9:36 again, talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak, and talking about an event you went to over the weekend and celebrating the history of the area.
Yes, I was very happy to go to it. It was a very wonderful time and a very good opportunity, and I don't know if I mentioned or not, but after they left, after the the troop, the organization, the Daughters of the American Revolution, the members of that left, and they had many of the state officers associated with it there. Mm-hmm. They were going over to Shawneetown for a similar plaque honoring a French historic site over there. So it was very nice to see them. Yesterday was the what used to be the Popeye Parade. They now call it the Fall Festival.
Mm-hmm.
They have not had the Popeye Parade for the last couple of years, COVID, which, right. You know, that says enough when you say COVID, but had changed a lot of those. So they restarted the festival and moved it to the fall. So they had the Fall Festival there over the weekend. And it was very nice to see that. And I did not make a lot of the festival, but I did get a chance to make the parade. And I enjoyed walking in it yesterday and meeting and greeting people. And I know Carolyn always enjoys it as well. So that was a good time to do that. And so it was a very pretty weekend and a lot going on. And it was a very good time. And I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Right. Busy weekend.
Oh, yes. Well, you keep busy. That's good.
That's true. That is true.
It is always good to have an opportunity to stay busy.
And as far as, let's see, what else we've got going. I guess going to go move into the care center.
Yes. Speak a little bit about that. Since we're in the process of the election now and early voting is already underway, absentee voting, early voting is there. And one of the initiatives on the ballot from Randolph County is a question about the care center. If you think it's deja vu, which we just had a question about it at the primary election back in June, it is a similar type of question, but this time it gets more to the point. And the issue becomes, or let me just give a little background on the issue first. The Randolph County Care Center is 70 years old, and over that period of time, it hasn't had any substantial renovations. It had a wing added onto it in the 60s, but no substantial, you know, renovations to the front half of the facility or anything like that since it was originally built, and it's been a very good facility. But according to, you know, today's standards, it no longer meets today's standards as far as room sizes, washrooms, hallways, or pretty much anything else you want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to get grandfathered in, but that's not going to happen a whole lot longer. Substantial renovations are going to have to occur, especially in the heating cooling systems. Those are major portions of it that are going to have to be, you know, changed out at some point. So with that said, and I don't think anyone really disagrees that there isn't need for renovations there. The other point being that we're only running the facility at less than half capacity. It's licensed for 100 beds, and we actually have to pay bed tax of roughly $10 a day per bed for all those beds that are not in use. And our census last Friday, I believe, was 45, if I remember correctly. And so we don't have enough capacity for Randolph County to really justify what it needs to do. So we have to look at this concept of dual use, being able to use part of a facility for one medical type of issues and the other part for, as a care center.
Mm-hmm.
And we've looked at this before and a lot has been said on it. And in actuality, on the June 28th, primary, the dual use concept was actually approved on the ballot, but you needed both questions to be approved. But the second question just missed, I think, by about 10 votes. It was a very nominal amount. The second question actually gave us the authority to do the dual use. So this time we worded it down to just one question, and I put it very, very straightforward. A yes vote allows us to move forward with moving it into a separate entity of government so it can operate. We can't continue to operate it and do these renovations under quote unquote Randolph County government. It has to be in its own medical type of entity, which is just some of the new requirements of today. The question gives us the opportunity to make that transfer into that type of entity so we can then be allowed to borrow the funds and receive the necessary grants in order to actually make those improvements and do it. And then on the reverse side, I put it very straightforward in there. If you vote no, basically it's a vote to close the facility because, you know, I hate to take a sharp stance like that, but without any renovations to the facility, it cannot continue to stay open for an extended period of time. It doesn't mean that it's going to close the next week, but we'll have to begin the process of looking at how we begin to close the facility. It may take a year or so, but that's what we're going to have to start moving towards, because we will not continue to be able to get our grandfathered licensure from the state of Illinois without these improvements, or without at least some kind of plan as to how we're going to get there.
Right.
And with no plan as to how you're going to get there, and years behind and getting them accomplished, no doubt the state will say you need to face up to the facts. So if it doesn't pass, it's going to move towards closure. If it does pass, it'll move towards renovation, and hopefully, and of course you could tell I'm very hopeful it will pass. Mm-hmm. That will give it the opportunity to stay open probably for another 20 years or so, with the dual use concept, as it moves forward. Now, beyond that period of time, a 20-year horizon, who knows what will be in effect at that time. But it basically, as I like to say it, it gives it one more generation of use before, at some point in time, but then they'll have to reconsider what they're going to do with it. At that point, probably they'll just have to rebuild it if they want to continue.
Right.
But this gives us an opportunity to get just a little more life out of a very good facility, and continue to move forward with it. I know noticed some signs out there. I know the employees and union that represent the employees out there are working very hard to see that it is passed. They're very hopeful, and I'm very hopeful with them. I would like to see it have an opportunity to continue forward, but this is what we need. We need a yes vote on this question to get that to happen.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that was part of the problem back in the spring, was maybe there was some confusion on it as to far as what...
That was a lot of the problem. I heard that many times. Of course, these ballot initiatives are written by attorneys. And anytime something's written by an attorney, you can bet it's going to be confusing to an extent. And but that's just, what has to happen at that point in time. It has to be written in such a fashion that it complies with the necessary laws. And but this time I wanted to make sure it was very straightforward as to what happens if it doesn't pass.
Right.
So everyone has an understanding of where this is going if it does not make it. But I'm very hopeful it will indeed make it.
It seems like it's got, like you said, the signs out. I'm seeing those places. A little more support,
yes.
A little more people working to push it.
I believe it's a very good opportunity for Randolph County. No one can tell the future. No one knows exactly for sure what will be. But among the other possibilities, I think this is probably the best that we have at this point in time. This is our best alternatives. I would say this is our best alternatives based on what we know and have at this point in time.
Right. So, like you said, there's always alternatives, but you got to take the best and the one that's going to
One that seems to have the most probability of success.
Right.
That's exactly right.
All right. I'll tell you what, we got another break here.
Okay.
Go ahead and throw in. And we'll come back and talk some more with Commissioner Holder here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back. Got a little time left in the program today, talking with Commissioner David Holder. And, we talk about roads every so often.
Yes, I'll bring a few of those up. Actually, if you were in Chester this weekend, you noticed that both lanes of the bridge were open. The lights were down. That won't last for long. It should be ending today. I believe they have about another 3 months, 2 to 3 months work on it, on renovations on the bridge. But they try to open it up to both ways to traffic about every fourth or fifth weekend. So it gives people an opportunity, especially during fall, because I know there is farm machinery that has to cross the bridge, et cetera.
Right.
But they're in the process of renovations in order to hopefully get it to last until they can complete the new bridge. Right now, they are doing their engineering studies where they have selected, I believe, 5 potential contractor organizations for it. Most of them are partnership ventures with different bridge builders, since it is a large order, to say
right.
the least. And they're putting together their proposals of design bid. In other words, their suggestions of what they think would work the best. And MoDOT and Missouri Department of Transportation is actually in charge of this particular bridge. They will evaluate all of those, and they hope, And I don't know exactly how much they're on schedule. As of a few weeks ago, they said they were anticipating awarding the contract by about January of next year, January 23, which is not that far off. That's only 3 months away. And for work to begin immediately after, and they're still looking at a December 31st, 25 completion date. So that seems fairly aggressive to me, but they're very serious about it. It does say they're very serious about it, and they are moving forward. They did all their core drilling actually a year ago last winter. They were out in the river on the barges, you know, drilling under below the water surface in the river to determine the structure of the rock structure and what was down there, so they know their exact placements. You can't you have to make sure you're on good quality bedrock right. before you can set those large towers that, you know, there'd be at least one required on each side of the river, and those things are pretty large. We don't know the exact design yet, but I suspect it'll look something like the Cape Girardeau Bridge. It'll be two 13-foot lanes with two 11-foot shoulders, so it'll be roughly 50-foot wide across, but it will be a two-lane bridge, and it should be a very nice facility. When it's completed.
So it'll be considerably wider than the current
bridge. Considerably, almost twice as wide as the current one, just in general terms. Also, back down to Randolph County bridges. Randolph County just completed a new bridge over Horse Creek. This is in Road District 3 near Redbud, south of Redbud. It was over Horse Creek on First Road between Richland Road on one side and what is Mill Street and Ruma going completely east. So they had completed that one, and it's now finished and up and in use. And they really did that in very good time, excellent time. And I had a chance to review it and see it a week or so ago, right as it was opening up, and it looked very nice, and I was glad to see it. And that completes most of the major road projects for this year. And we're moving into the budgets at this time. As I'm beginning to work on the budgets for Randolph County for next year, we'll actually have to post on November the 15th, and we'll have to actually pass the new budgets on December 1st. So I'm working in connection with our certified public accountants or auditors for Randolph County, and in order to have those things prepared, in order to have those budgets prepared, as well as working with all the elected officials, determining what I always like to say, what's your wish list? What would you like to have? And we'll write it down. And then when we get right down to the end, you start seeing where you think your revenues are going to be at and how much you're going to have available. And that's where you make your final cuts and determine what stays in and what stays out based on priorities for Randolph County. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process of moving forward with that. And it'll be, as I mentioned, we'll post on November 11th and pass it on 1st of December at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So in essence, then that'll go again until November 30th of next year.
Yes,
so
Randolph County's fiscal year runs from December 1st to November 30th. So we're coming in on the close of this fiscal year, and so far it's been a good year. We're moving out of COVID and into a more normal type of operation, and that's good.
Definitely.
I'm ready to see the other end. We've made a lot of progress and improvements in the health department. We have a meeting. I'll mention that right fast. We have a meeting with the Randolph County Health Department on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, under which we'll pass the I plan. That is, you can think of the I plan as a strategic plan for Randolph County health priorities for the next 5 years. And we've had consultants in the health department, as you know, in conjunction with all the health providers of Randolph County, the three different hospitals, mm-hmm. and the health department and Comwell have all worked together in order to identify the needs and the priorities, and in order to develop the plan as to how we're going to address those needs, so we can submit that to the Illinois Department of Public Health. Each county health department is required to submit one of those once every 5 years, and our due date, I believe, is November 1st. I think it was supposed to be December 1st. I believe they changed it to November 1st. But basically, here in the next 3 to 4 weeks is our due date on our I plan, and it needs to be approved by the health board. And I've had a chance to review it, and they've done an excellent job in preparing it. Some of the items they talk about are a little over my, you know, professional head on that, but mm-hmm. they've done an excellent job in putting it together. and I'm happy to have them working with it.
No. So, well, just a few seconds left in the program, but
well, it's been a good weekend overall. We just started talking about the Kaskaskia Island,
right?
And the events they had there. I really enjoyed being a part of those, and on through the Popeye celebrations that they had at Chester over the weekend. Those were both very nice. It made for a very nice weekend and a chance to be a part of different things. And of course, then I'd mentioned the care center, and I know there'll be some other people in here to talk in favor of it. And I'd really encourage an affirmative vote for the Randolph County Care Center on election day on November 8th. I think this would be our best overall alternative for this facility and to keep it going.
Right, exactly. And it's been a fixture in the county for many years. And
70 years it's been here, longer than I have. And so it would be nice to be able to see it, be able to continue on for another generation. And so I recommend the passage of that give it the possibility of continuing forward.
All right. Well, Commissioner Holder, thanks for being with us.
That's quite all right. You have a wonderful day.
All right. You too. And that will wrap things up for the People Speak today. I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow.